You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, for my regular interview with Te Pāti Māori co-leader Debbie Nārua Packer, we discussed COVID-19 vaccination rates for Māori and the latest Oranga Tamariki news. Together, Stats New Zealand and Ministry of Health data, per New Zealand Herald data analysis, have shown that the percentage of Māori who are fully vaccinated is 5.4%, compared to 9% of European/other, and then 9.3% Asian ethnicity, and then 7.3% Pacific. I wanted to speak to Debbie about why she thinks Māori aren't being prioritised by the government's vaccine rollout, despite community vulnerability to COVID-19. We also discussed the latest news story to hit headlines, scrutinising the culture and practices taking place within Oranga Tamariki. Last week, Newsroom reported that they had been shown a video where Oranga Tamariki staff at a care and protection unit had aggressively restrained a child. Since the news broke, staff have been stood down and the facility itself has been closed. I wanted to have a chat about what the Māori Party's thoughts were on this latest news regarding the ministry. Here is Debbie now. The COVID-19 vaccination rate for Māori is half that of Pākehā and Asian populations, according to Stats New Zealand and Ministry of Health data. Chris Hipkins says that this is concerning, and a public health expert told the New Zealand Herald that it is a crisis. What are your thoughts on these statistics?
To be really honest, what concerns us as Māori, as Te Pāti Māori, is the fact that we have a high vulnerable age, and the population age for starting COVID should be a lot lower than comparative. The other side of it is that we know, unless it's changed radically in a week and a half, we know that we were a low percentage of the overall population, as is Australia, and it's not good enough given the fact that we had a near on case of the Delta strain getting out. So I think I understand there's more vaccine that has arrived yesterday, actually, and there needs to be more progress. I think the problem is that Ministry of Health needs to let go how it's restraining the ability for communities to be able to go out and vaccinate themselves. I think that I certainly know for us in Te Pāhi Wauru and in Taranaki, as an example, they have been determining how community and Māori providers are able to get out and vaccinate, particularly those at risk. So I think they need to take lessons from what's gone on in the last 7 months and loosen up the ability for those that are on the ground to be able to, one, vaccinate more of our population, and two, expedite it in a way that responsibly ensures as many of Aotearoa are vaccinated.
Now, you said there the core concern is the vulnerability of the Māori population. Now, the government has gone with including Māori in the general rollout rather than prioritising Māori, particularly in the 50 to 64 age category in residential care, homeless or the incarcerated. Why have Māori not been prioritised?
Well, I guess this is indicative of a wider issue for Māori in health inequities, is that if they can't reach us on an ordinary day-to-day health issue, they are not going to do it with vaccination. There has been an aggressive anti-vaxxer strategy that has gone out since COVID vaccination started, which I think scare people. There hasn't really been the type of communications that can appeal to, I think, those that are suspicious of anything that the government rolls out. And generally, we have a high population that aren't registered and are extremely transient. So, I was talking to some kohanga a couple of weeks ago, and they hadn't been contacted. That would make sense. In the kohanga are women, aunties, are nannies, who have, often three generations in their household. So I think the strategy needs to be shaken up, and the actual, rollout. And you'll see in the house, Te Pāti Māori has been asking the Ministry of Health, what is your Māori strategy? What is your Māori strategy for the vaccine rollout? And what is your Māori strategy for communication? And there hasn't been anything evident. It's extremely reactive. And I think that's a lot of the problem.
We're 5 months into the rollout now. Surely a Māori strategy should have been organised
exactly
months
exactly.
ago.
I know, and it seems really simple because, you know, there are parts of our community that are minorities that have taken a hold of this and decided this is what's best for us. There's always pushback when it comes to anything that is about Māori, and in fact we saw, you know, renowned health advocate Dr. Rawiri Jensen pull away from the government's advisory, COVID advisory committee, because they would not listen and would not take his advice. And that's the arrogance that we've had, often from the Ministry of Health and officials, because, you know, they actually want to own it and do it themselves. And the, and I think that's the a cross between ambition and, you know, and ignorance. And we've been extremely critical. We saw it in the COVID response when Māori and iwi stood up their own response because the, you know, Ministry of Health weren't reaching into those at-risk areas. So, so not a lot has improved, unfortunately, and I guess that's indicative in some of the issues we're confronting today.
And so if government isn't reaching into those areas, I know you talked at the beginning about community work that's being done to provide accurate information about the vaccine within Māori communities. How is the Māori Party working with these community groups to ensure that these statistics change? Because if the government isn't going to do anything about it, then does the responsibility there lie with the communities that are affected themselves?
Yeah. I think, well, first of all, one of the things that we've done is reached out to various leaders. So we see John Tamahere with Waipareira and have done an open door policy with a community vaccine rollout. We've seen the likes of Chris Tui and Tuli and Ngāti Hime that have taken complete control and customised their distribution. And what we've done is made sure we've brought light to these pockets of distribution that are happening and questioning the minister in the house. And again, you know, using our promotional tools to actually be able to highlight success models. And there are real innovative success models. Unfortunately, again, there's this preciousness that you see. Ministers are often very, very keen to do this, but there's this, you know, to adopt these other ways and do an and approach. But there's a preciousness that we've seen the whole way from Ministry of Health in the rollout of the COVID vaccine. There's actually a preciousness that we've seen really different in Ministry of Health, even with some of the health legislation. You know, everyone that we've had that's come out, the public health response bill talked about wanting to get into marae without any type of permission. They did the same with the water quality bill. So there just seems to be a disconnect from the bureaucracy to that's happening out on the ground. And I think, yeah, that's what we will continue to push and put pressure on, because they've got to shake themselves out of that preciousness and realise that if we are indeed to protect our communities and take on an aggressive strain like the Delta strain, we need to move quick and we need to get into areas that are ordinarily hard to reach for bureaucrats, where there's a high mistrust for the government, but there isn't necessarily for providers on the ground. So that's what we'll continue to highlight and continue to push and continue to question the minister and champion that they carry on doing the great work that the providers are doing on the ground.
Okay, let's move on now to talk a little bit about the Oranga Tamariki news. So last week, a video was released to Newsroom that showed Oranga Tamariki staff at a care and protection unit aggressively restraining a child. Since the news broke, staff have been stood down and the facility itself has been closed. What is the Māori Party's thoughts on this latest news?
First of all, that video was just heartbreaking. It is disturbing to see rangatahi treated like that, and our concern was for his well-being and to make sure that he's getting the support and counselling that he's needed to receive. And that the whānau are aware of what's going on, and I think there was just so many gaps of information. The other thing is that there was clearly a deficit in training. To not see just one adult manhandle and treat a rangatahi like that, but then to see three not seem to de-escalate, it created real concerns, concerns of his well-being and concerns of what else is going on, if that's how staff are responding to a situation that clearly needed de-escalation. So So we have asked the Minister of the House, you know, what is the process, what is, you know, is the first and foremost, is the young person okay? And is he getting the support that he needs to recover? The second thing is, what when did they last review the child support policy? When did they last? What type of training is provided for staff? Do we have a balance where we have unskilled youth workers and not enough skilled social workers given the load? So I think this is indicative of a wider issue.
Yeah, because I think, you know, this is obviously not the first time Oranga Tamariki has been under fire for poor treatment of children in its care, and frankly being an organisation with a culture of racism. When is this going to change? You've mentioned the review, but surely it's frustrating to see news like this and for Oranga Tamariki to be consistently making the headlines in a negative way like this.
Oh, that's right. I mean, the thing is, yeah, what happens to the facilities that don't have whistleblowers? The other side of it is that, you know, it's really easy for the CEO to spin this around, focus on the bricks and mortar, close it down. You know, this is uprooting already traumatised rangatahi and disrupting, you know, what we hope is a place of healing and safety. What is really concerning is that, and I'm, you know, we were going to have the report from Oranga Tamariki on what the review showed. What worries us is that their review is going to show they don't want to devolve Oranga Tamariki. And if they don't want to devolve aspects of Oranga Tamariki back to the very communities, out to iwi and hapu, out to organisations that are in the community can connect these children to their homes and to their people that are safe, then, you know, what are they proposing? And I think this is one of the things that we should be really mindful of. This is an organisation who was ready to distribute on the 1st of July the findings of their initial review. It didn't come out. Now, if that review was on mark, they would have actually delivered that. I don't think it matches what happened last week, which is why we haven't heard what this committee is proposing to do with Oranga Tamariki.
So we're worried that it's just going to be slap a fresh coat of paint on it and say, oh, fresh, call it something else, or we'll put somebody else in the lead and it'll fix it all.
Dress up the pig, change the deck chairs, but the Titanic's still sinking. And it was really concerning that no one of them has, you know, again, that would have been the opportune time. The 1st of July was meant to be the release. We had all been told the 1st of July was when they were going to release their findings and what their decision were going to be. We have heard that there isn't going to be, that people were happy, they didn't want to see a complete devolving of the agency. And I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding. So what we don't want to see is, you know, again, changing the deck chairs off a sinking Titanic and just delaying the inevitable. It is clear there are deep-rooted systemic issues in this organisation. And if we don't, take it and deal with it properly, we're going to have more damaged children than what they were when they went into the place to be healed. There's some complex issues there, and if we've not got the right staff, the right support for staff, the right resourcing, you know, I hate to think what's not being reported on.
That was Māori Party co-leader Debbie Naru-Apaka. We discussed COVID-19 vaccination rates for Māori and the latest news about Oranga Tamariki, with the care and protection unit having closed down due to evidence of staff aggressively restraining a child in care.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.